This is the meeting of the Nye Beach Commercial Parking District, August 23rd, 9:30. Derek Tokos, Community Development.
Mike Goff, TCB.
Patrick Doherty, TCB.
Kathy Cleary, Toujours Boutique.
Wendy Engler, Nye Beach Wine Cellars.
Jody George, Jovi.
I thought the one thing we really wanted to cover was the change to signage that's going to be happening. And those signs, it'll be going to 3-hour parking limitation signs on Coast and 3rd and Beach. And that will be, those signs will be up by the end of the week. I confirmed with Dave
Watkins.
Wow. So what we wanted to do in advance of that was get a flyer out to folks that give them a heads up that that change is occurring, that there'll be a 30-day grace period within which they would only get warnings. Mm-hmm. And then and this flyer also includes a map showing the areas that you guys had identified, you guys can take it, as being locations where business owners or employees can park without issues.
Great. And when is this going to go out, Derek?
That can go out anytime between now and the end of the week. I just wanted you guys to have a chance to take a look at it. Let me know if there's any changes or revisions
Beach.
That.
Yeah, Beach Drive is misspelled.
Okay, you see, that's why.
Bach Drive.
Is it? Yep. Thanks. I'll fix that.
Derek, would it be possible where it states the transition period of 30 days will be provided?
Yeah.
Can we put dates on that? And I only recommend it.
Oh, fine.
Yeah, that's
somebody's
that's
30 days good. Could be different than another person's 30
right.
days.
Okay, 8:27 to.
How are you?
Hi, Dave.
Well, what we can do is we can mail it out, or I can produce a number of copies for you guys to hand deliver. I don't know which way you guys want to go with that.
I think both. I think they should be mailed out, and then I'd be glad to
And then I can just print an
copies.
Extra stack, and you guys can...
I think that sounds...
Let's do it that way.
Yeah,
that
double
sure
whammy, make
yeah.
sure everybody...
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So the grace period will be when?
I'd say the 27th of August through... 27th of September.
Or could we just go to the end of September?
You want to do it that way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just think that makes
mm-hmm.
sense.
Yeah. You could say, you could just limit it to, through the month of September. Or
and right, through month
fines,
of September.
Fines will start on October 1.
All right.
I wonder if we can make it a little bit easier for people to get their passes rather than having them come to the finance department. Can we take them around to the residents and the B&Bs? Or do they need to be registered with finance?
I think it probably is.
It'd be a good idea to have them come in and talk to finance, just
okay.
to have that connection. And The positive is, and we've got a 30-day grace period, so there's going to be ample time for them to pop in at some point to pick some of these things up. Here's the just to fill you guys in,
yep.
We have residents that we don't want hit, and we have lodging groups.
Whoa!
Oh.
This is
here.
There's not enough chairs, thanks.
To be honest.
I didn't know I was supposed to be
here, Linda, just look at you. Sorry, that's... it's a draft.
Guest
for our
lodging. Okay, so this is a residence, and this is going to be a guest.
Right.
Gotcha.
I thought it looked like this was a parking area out here on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it took
me a while to
see
this.
As in old days.
Yeah. Well, I saw somebody kind of got a ticket for parking the wrong way on the street across from you.
Yeah, I saw cool. I saw Mike pinching the other day.
We get a lot of those.
18 inches a second.
Oh, I'm sure you do. People do constantly pull that. It is kind of stupid.
It's never been okay.
No, exactly. It's not like
yeah, but very
so will the lodging establishments just have a pile of these and they're going to put the plates in, or are you going to make just a generic one that they just that doesn't require a vehicle license plate on it?
No, for the lodging, we were just giving them a stack.
A stack of them, okay.
Yeah.
And then you guys will just replenish those for them? Okay. I mean, the other option could be, if he didn't want to have to keep producing a billion of them, could be just to have those without a license plate requirement on them for the lodging establishments.
Except then they can be passed to anybody. That's the only
I guess it's a... Although they do have an effective date, so you're not going to recycle them anyhow, I guess.
Yeah, so there's two flavors there. One's for the residents, which is kind of their permanent one, whether or not they want to laminate it or have to come back in for it if that one, you know, the one they have gets damaged.
Oh, did you want to see?
I read it. As far as the visibility, do we need a little bit darker striping on there, or is that something that's going to be easily seen? Or does it matter?
I think it's effective.
Yeah, I think it's plenty effective. Essentially, bolt permits accomplish the same thing, correct?
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm.
Except this one has a...
This one's permanent.
That's permanent.
Right.
That's for the residents. This is for the guests.
Just avoid that vehicle. Yeah.
Is there anything that limits us from changing the color altogether?
No, I can change that color to any color that...
Well, not even the stripe, but the color of the permit.
Well,
the
effective date's kind of hard to read. I mean...
Like this could be a green one, and that could be orange or something like that.
We talked about that.
We did. Yeah. There was a reason that we decided they should all be the same color.
I can't remember what it was.
Why did we?
I don't remember.
It had something to do with visibility, being able to distinguish the two colors at a distance. And it's sort of, that's what's your input on it? Because you're the one who's going to be monitoring it. Is this going to work? Or and we also discussed that if it doesn't work, we'll change a little.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It does keep it simple. You know, green is Nye Beach, yellow is Bayfront.
Gotcha.
And, you know,
okay.
If we get too many.
You're going to have different colors to different districts.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Okay.
That was it.
So,
gotcha. Okay. Good.
Instant recall.
Yeah.
And what it says here is the permit must be displayed from the rear view mirror. Do you care which way it faces?
Well, we need to be able to read an effective date, obviously. So
do you
facing
want
out.
Facing. Yeah. It should say that because people will put it the other way if they've expired or something. Or if they don't want you to see the license number.
Certainly.
Can you put that on there?
Yeah, that's not a problem.
Facing forward.
And you think people are going to follow the
directions? You think they're going to read it?
You can give them a ticket for not following the directions. Yeah. Put a warning.
It's there, but I can't read it.
Couldn't read your permit. Mm-hmm. You know, your license plate has been noted, and next time we'll give you a ticket.
Well, that's like in Portland where you have to stick that thing, or if you've been to Portland, and you got to have it on the sidewalk side. And
right.
Yeah, facing
right.
out.
Your window. Yep. Yeah. And it takes a while to, okay, where do you really want me to put this?
All right,
I'm
going to
do that.
So those door hangers work for you?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent, because I can turn around and I'll have those produced, a starting batch produced and available when the signs go up. So we'll be fine there.
Derek, has anybody, just as a sidebar to this, has anybody let the judge know?
No.
Might be a good idea to have a representative of either the parking company or the police department notify the judge and let him know up front before he starts seeing these, and then he gets PO'd because he's behind the curve.
All right.
Well, yeah, because there has to be some revisions done to the ordinance that we wrote up, which will be done here in the next week.
He's a lot easier to work with when he has the information up front.
All right. I'll talk to Jason about that over. See if our police department can touch base with him.
Great. I think we got everything on the map. Mm-hmm. Having the striping north on Coast has been wonderful. Gosh, all of a sudden people park there.
Yeah.
It was
all the way up there.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah, now I can't find a place to park.
Sorry. Well, you can park.
Signs are going up. Okay. Ignore my notes on this, but excellent.
What about? Has anybody heard about striping the 3 hours the way up? All the way.
Derek, as we're speaking, those signs are going up now, even though the ordinance hasn't went through because
okay.
we pushed on time.
They probably won't do that until they
so
do that.
I suppose these two fellows here probably need to know that, that until the ordinance goes through.
So don't
take it anywhere. Okay, can't necessarily write a ticket. Yeah.
Okay, I thought the signs weren't going to be up until Friday, but you got to put them up now.
Yeah.
No, it's not striped.
Okay.
I just know that they might not stripe it until they really do the whole.
So I'm going to capitalize on what
you've got. You've got notes.
So, Dave, where are they going up?
They're going up right now. But we will not be able to enforce those until the ordinance goes through, of course.
Okay, and somebody will notify us when that takes place?
Yes.
Is that
should be
at Monday's council meeting then?
No. It's already been approved and everything like that. There was some wording in here because of these permits coming up that we had to do a little bit of. We just got to add a paragraph that specifies unless you have a
proper permitted.
All right. Well, then what we'll do is we'll plan on getting the notice mailed out today, you know, and then I'll have a stack of these for you guys to pick up if you want to hand deliver them to businesses. I think the operative is, you know, we're not going to be, I mean, it's going to be warnings until the end of September. We're not going to be.
Derek, did we discuss as part of the notification process in case of absentees and people like that, some in the media, some in the paper at the same time this goes out?
Yeah, we were going to have Larry come to this meeting, right?
I can contact him. We'll just send a press release out to him.
Gives the city a little good press plus another notification means.
Sure.
Another part that I don't know if you guys have looked at also, and that's Brook Street. We cleaned all of that all up already. If you designate the west side of that for parking also, that would not be that far of a walk and everything, which might be a good place for your employees.
Mm-hmm. That would be a good place. It's really wide.
I mean, we could go ahead and T-bar that and stuff like that. But
you're talking Northwest Brook?
Yes. You've got a whole section there on the west side. Of course, we have to accommodate the people on the other side.
Right.
So part of Brook is indicated as a safe zone?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah,
so
that
only be half. So it is already kind of implied that it's a place for employees to park.
Kind of before residential starts.
But I mean, we don't have markings or anything on there.
And
so
marking it would be
helpful.
You know,
would
you
be
could
great.
Have a couple of pardon me.
That would be great if you could T-bar that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you guys would have to get together. I'm sorry, I can't just go and put them down.
So in having the 3rd Street marked, is that not happening because it'll happen when the whole 3rd Street project happens? Because it's not marked all the way up,
yes,
as far as well.
Marked all the way up to Herbert.
Well, that goes into
at the last meeting, we hadn't made that clarification whether the district went all the way to 9 or not.
Yeah, I remember that it went. The initial markings were going to be up to Herbert and Brook, and then we would revisit going all the rest of the way up.
I think we should go on the south side all the way up to 9 right now for employee parking.
Can we put these?
I don't see why not, because I don't think that side of the street's going to be torn up.
I'm not sure.
Would there be value in that at all? Okay. I should know if there would be a value in employing these people that were given this, also where the 3 hours is going to take place.
Well, they're going to run the sidewalk around the corner there.
Read this part up here.
We'll hope so.
Paint at this time is going to be immaterial. I will put thermoplastic down until the street's completed.
Right.
So. So, I mean, even if we stripe it, we had that done, we've come and tear it up, it's not going to be that big of a deal.
Okay. So is that possible? Can we get your permission to do that?
I don't know. I was having a side conversation.
We're just wanting to have 3rd Street marked for parking all the way up to Nye.
Okay.
And kind of thought we'd already
identified
that. There's some places in here that we talked about there being big spaces for people with
RVs.
So we've now talked about making that employee parking. So do we want to put RV parking up there?
I don't think that we have to mark it.
I don't know. RVs just park in two spots all the time. I don't think that's a problem.
Yeah. Okay. An RV can park in any, take up as many spots as they need to to fit, as long as they don't create a hazard. It only becomes an issue if they create a hazard. They can't park. They can't park parallel and diagonal, but they can park in diagonal or parallel parking as many as they need, as long as they're not creating a hazard.
Yeah, that's what I've seen them doing.
No, you guys have adequate
RV, so
correct.
You guys have adequate funds budgeted for that if you want to do that.
I would propose just T-barring just with paint all the way up to Nye Street on the south side of Third, and then on the west side of Brook.
Okay, north side of Third too.
Why not?
Do you wanna? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to have any effect. If only those, the mobile home park, and that's not going to have any effect.
It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Everybody has lots of
see it down.
Yeah. And once you mark it, people park in it.
They will park it.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. Yeah.
Okay,
it was overnight on the north side of Coast, north end.
So why don't you guys do a little motion?
Oh, I make a motion that we stripe both sides of Third from Herbert to Nye, and that we stripe. Are we only going to do the west side of Brook? The west side of Brook Street, of one half of Brook Street, from Third midway to Olive. I second. All in favor?
Aye. Motion passes.
There you go.
And then residents know that they've already been able to park there, but it does give others the knowledge that maybe that's
right.
not a legal parking spot.
Right.
That's good. That's great.
Okay, so with some minor edits, we'll get this flyer out, and I'll email you one, you know, once I have the copies for you to come and pick up, and I'll go ahead and make a minor change, it looks like, to the door hangers and get those ordered so that they'll be available.
One other thought on the, mainly on the permanent residence door hanger, would be putting a phrase in there that advises them that that permit does not enable them to violate any other city ordinances, i.e. the 72-hour violations. This says you can exceed the 3-hour parking, so one would assume it doesn't say I can't. Doesn't give me a limit to how long I can park there, but there is an ordinance that states you can't park a vehicle in one space longer than 72 hours. So I don't know if you can just do a verbiage that it only is for
put it on there.
Something along those lines.
Yeah,
we have one vehicle that's being moved around. It's
so you know somebody will
just leave it there and start
somebody
it.
Will try that.
Joe's doing that with his pickup.
Oh,
so what language do you think should be on here?
I won't recommend language, but
I still would suggest that those notices that you might want to talk to the water billing outfit and include those in there, because the problem you're going to run into is you have a lot of people that are their rentals.
Mm-hmm.
Those are not the owners. They might necessarily, you know, they'll pitch them. But if the owner knows... also on it.
The water billing stuff for the next mail out is spoken for, though. So,
well, at some particular time.
Haven't we kind of taken responsibility for some of the folks and to let them know that they need this permit? Because I'm going to talk to the people next to the Grand Victorian.
Okay.
There aren't that many who face those streets.
Have you guys also considered a slightly more permanent option for the residents, i.e. a sticker to put in their window? That way it's not thrown in the glove box in the driveway and then
right.
That's a good idea. So we might get more compliance that way. I know with handicap permits, they end up in glove boxes.
The permanent, I'm with you.
Yeah. And people get citations and they say, but wait, I have a permit. Well, it was in your glove box, so I'm sorry.
Well, maybe we could try this for a while and see how it works.
Check into the cost effect, if we can do that reasonably, because that would be a great thing to do, is just give them that and put in their window.
Maybe you can shed some light on this, but legally they can't drive with that hanging, correct? So they have to take it down every time they drive.
Do we need to say that? Every time they park. Remove when driving?
No, we don't say that.
You could have like a whole letter.
Dear a manual.
But it does prompt the people that are complying with that to throw it down on their seat or their floorboard, and then they forget to stick it up, and then they get a citation, and then we're going to court with them because they say our residents and all those different things that go along with it.
I mean, or a window cleaning would eliminate some of that. That's why a lot of resorts and stuff are recommending that you put it on the dash of your car instead of your mirror. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, can we say that then? Makes it a little harder for you, but can we do that? Can we have it just be on
for the us? All we need is visible. Okay. You know, ideally the rearview mirror, the dash, not the floorboard or on the seats,
right,
or something like that. As long
as
it's visible,
makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Well,
I think the word visible might make sense too. If it's visible,
the bayfront requires it be displayed on the rearview mirror. One thing it'd be nice is if we're going to do parking,
make it consistent.
It's consistent. Right. So I'd hate to
have the bayfront. Is it residence?
No, it's commercial operators.
See,
primarily.
To me, that seems different. If you live there and you have to
take
something down and put it up every time you
come home. The only reason that rearview mirror thought was put in there was just to make it more easily and readily visible to enforcement.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's the question, though, posed to them, is it going to work if it's
and
not?
And it's consistent with other,
right,
the handicap placard.
I would keep it in the rearview mirror, and let's pursue for the permanent residence a sticker.
Look into the sticker.
And this,
the other one, start this one, yeah.
Where people know that they're a temporary person, and that's part of the requirement. And when I give it to my folks, I'll say, you need to hang this on your rearview mirror, or put it on your dash. I can verbally tell them that.
Right.
You're not looking at very much.
No.
With the residents for a sticker.
Because we don't have that many on the street.
Yeah.
Once they get accustomed to it.
Number, the plate number.
A permanent sticker is a great idea. That's terrific. And the bright green.
I'll look into a sticker.
Stickers work great because you can just tell them it needs to be on the, you know, straight side of the, you know, back window or whatever side we determine is appropriate. Obviously, street side's good when we're doing a vehicle patrol.
Yeah.
Simple.
Yeah, the ones in Portland go on the street side.
Back. We use them, we produce them for a number of businesses in the area that have us patrol there.
You do.
And they work considerably well.
How cost effective are they?
We're pretty. They're
just going to be checking into it, Mike.
They're not overly expensive, yeah.
Because we're looking at 10. We're not looking at a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe 10 of them for permanent resident. Well, no, because third has a lot.
Yeah.
So less than 25. Yeah, I mean, you're talking dollars if you're talking that many.
Yeah, so
cheap.
You always go to God. You have to go times two, though, when you do that.
That's right. Everybody's
they
have two cars.
Two rigs.
The people who have these, do they need to come to the police department and request and show their address to get one of these?
Well, they'll be going to finance. That's how we're setting up.
Okay.
But that would be our check to make sure that we're providing these things in the appropriate circumstances. So sticker would be what? On the back of the vehicle or just anywhere on the vehicle? I'm just curious. Where would you guys want it?
I would recommend the street side of the back. That's where we usually chalk tires. It's right there, the rear tire. Rear driver tire.
So you're thinking that in a realistic number, if let's say everybody has two cars, I mean, we're not talking any more than 150 of these out there, right?
Probably that's like 5 year supply.
Yeah.
We're probably looking at less than 30
okay.
units.
Okay.
30 active units. Mm-hmm.
So should we maybe add the sentence where passes can be obtained at the finance department, bring proof of residency
and your license for a permanent permit?
For the permanent permit?
Like, I think anybody with a half a brain cell would know to do that.
Well.
Like, no, not always.
Okay. People don't know how to read.
I like to consider I have a half a brain cell, and it usually takes me 3 or 4 trips to B&B.
Okay.
I just made out for
and
a brown Chevy.
Yeah. Three times in three different ways.
Like, I'm the only one that has a brown Chevy.
That's right.
Yeah. Visually hearing it. Mm-hmm.
We'll put this in the paper.
Repeat after me.
Yeah.
I will.
So you think bring proof of?
Yeah. And your vehicle license. Well, how about vehicle registration? Of course, they don't always register at their address.
Mm.
Well, I think proof of residency is enough.
Your vehicle registration has your license on it, too, your license number, because that goes on the permit, the permanent permit.
And will finance be filling that out, that portion?
I would think.
Who we've given them out to?
Well, just the big plate section down there. I'm hoping they'll use a nice Sharpie or something.
Oh, this one is filled out by the...
By the hotels?
Yeah.
The permanent
by
one?
By the Sharpie.
Okay, good. Just something fairly visible.
Large enough. Is that a big enough space? It's bigger when they make them.
Yeah, I think that's right.
It's a longer...
Okay. I'll put something in there. I don't want this to be draconian either. I mean, we send a notice out, you know.
Yeah. Right.
That, you know, you can get a pass, but you have to come in and get fingerprinted and all that stuff.
That's why I parked in the lobby.
The birth certificates of all your children. I want to try to answer any question that may be asked before they ask the question.
Yeah. And technically, if you started with the permanent residence hangar, you could replace those via mail with a permanent window decal.
Right.
When you got those in place.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And if we're talking a fairly small number, is it possible for finance to share those when they're registered with us so we can put them in our records management system?
Share what? Which ones we've issued?
Yeah, essentially plate numbers and who's got them so we can...
Yeah, we can do that.
It's not a fail-safe, but it's handy to have it.
All right.
And is there already a form of record keeping for the city when this is, when we establish this, when they go to K?
We will be creating one.
Okay.
Just a record keeping mechanism so we know, you know, who we've given these out to. Again, with the lodging folks, we're going to end up probably just giving them stacks.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then they'll have to probably come back in.
How many lodging establishments are in the
Victorian area? Victorian and myself.
Okay.
What did we say about Selby Beach? Did we say no for them?
I think no, because it's not 3 hours on Cliff, is it?
It is up to... Oh, not on Cliff. It's 3rd Street, though. It's 3 hours.
Oh, behind where they... Yeah.
Just as a thought to prevent bruised egos or whatever, it might be worth just making it open to any of the lodging establishments in the district.
I think that's a good idea.
I do too. Right? There's no reason
let them participate
to
if they want.
Determine who should or should.
Yeah.
You've got the tea party.
And that's what I'm thinking. Just
because she has to have one.
All the different ones. It's just easier to say.
What about Greenstone? Because they pretty much have their own parking.
I
think people go with their own parking. I mean, we've discussed that with the. With the condos down below, that they have their own parking lot, so in theory their residents shouldn't need to be parking on the street. We basically are trying to get people not to park on the street.
It's just not park in the 3 hour zone. There are plenty of other places to park. And I do have a parking lot, but then too I have retail and the other. And my employees don't park there.
And I was thinking like the condos are area. I don't know that there's even enough parking for all of them. I don't know how many spaces there are back there, but it doesn't seem to be many. So I know a lot of them park on the street.
Are there rentals upstairs
for
you? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's three.
Oh,
five condos up there?
There's four. And I know at least one of them's a weekender. And then the other one...
Are they licensed?
Well, also at Archway Place, I don't think the weekend one is licensed, and they park on Thursday.
They are licensed.
They are?
Yeah, they are licensed. Okay, so we need to find the vacation rentals and then the owners also for those condos. Because you're right, they probably have two vehicles. And they were only required to provide one spot.
You just do a mass... You know, I mean, how much do we need to do? You put the notices out there, and if there's issues, they get a ticket, and then they come in and deal with the issue.
Yeah, get a warning.
And when they do, they get their warning or they get their ticket, and it's said, fill this out if you're Cooper residents. I mean,
I agree.
And we'll keep the
that's true.
And so we'll keep a log of who we've been issuing these things.
Yes, when people come in, they say, I'm a resident, this is my address, or I have a vacation rental, and here's my business license.
They're going to be screaming Patrick and Mike.
Yeah.
A broad shoulder.
So, I mean, I think it'll resolve itself without us having to.
No, the judge will send the notices to me. Pictures.
The one thing about this notice, though, I think it should say to Nye Beach business owners, employees, and residents, because it does affect the residents.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I need to step out. I've got a 10 o'clock commitment that I need to go to. So what I have is I'll make these changes to the notice, and we'll go ahead, as I said, we'll go ahead and get that mailed out, and I'll let you know when we have a stack available for you to pick them up. And then we'll go ahead and make changes to these guys. We'll go with the door hanger for the permanent residents to start with, but I'll go ahead and look in and see what it's going to take to do a sticker. I don't think that's going to be too tough, but it just may take a little bit of time to get it done. And we'll talk to the police department about notifying Judge Pridgen, and we'll get a press release out.
Before you go, should we set another date for the meeting? Mm-hmm. Sure, we're not finished.
Okay. Well, and then...
Jim, are you going to stick around so we can talk about plants?
That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, good. And then, so will you leave? Do you want to leave that, Derek, and we'll bring it back?
Yeah, I'll just leave it with Jim.
Just prepare you also, you'll be receiving a few bills.
Yeah, I got the first one already.
So. No. You haven't got these other ones.
Well, I know. Okay. All right. No, thanks.
And then you've got one for signposts coming in also.
All right. And I trust it's all more or less in line with the estimates.
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
I wasn't here with the estimates. If it was within the $200 assigned deal that I requested, then yeah, we're all right.
Can you email those to us?
Yeah.
Thanks.
All right. All right, you want to set a date?
So when are we thinking? Another 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm. Isn't that right after
Labor Day's Labor Day?
Yeah.
So the week after?
So you want to do the
6th?
I'm there.
Can I
grab the calendar real quick? So you want to do the 6th?
I don't know why these come up.
Okay.
Tuesday the
6th
at 9:30?
Mm-hmm. Is that a meeting
date
that you guys have, or do you?
I'm sorry.
Do you have your staff meetings on, is it the 1st and 3rd?
Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday is at 9.
So we want to go Wednesday.
Well, but he's here after that meeting.
Oh, okay.
9:30 work?
So what day are we on?
Tuesday the 6th.
Depends on how long Tim wants to talk. 10 o'clock, which would be a heck of a lot more convenient if possible.
It's okay for me.
It's all right for me. It's on Tuesday. It's all right for me.
Okay. Tuesday the 6th.
Yeah, Tuesday.
10 o'clock.
And one other thing, too, before I run off, did we come up with anything on the beach access signs?
No, we were going to talk about that today, too.
Yeah, let's talk about that today.
Yeah. Okay.
Gee, Derek, you're going to miss out on a lot of good stuff here.
All right. He's got the audio, so he can listen to it.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Right. Three or four times.
But I'll
pipe it through his radio in his car. He has home stereo.
Sure, he puts him on his iPod.
Thanks a lot.
There's lots of time. He'll have plenty of time to listen to this over and over.
It'd be like Groundhog Day.
There you go.
I'll just check in with you on that.
Does that pretty much conclude the parking bit?
I
mean, it's flattering as talking about plant sounds.
I had one question about the signage at the Visual Arts Center. We were going to change that sign that says Visual Arts Center only to Visual Arts Center only.
Public parking.
No. Well, wasn't it going to say Visual Arts Center 9 to 5 or something like that?
Mm.
Do you know if that's included in the signage that you're doing?
I haven't heard anything about it.
Okay. We can just take care of it later.
Yeah.
And that would fall back into the deal where I'd have to get a mm-hmm. work order change ordinance.
Okay. Oh. All right. So is there any other parking?
Any questions about parking?
Your days fluctuate, is that right? So people don't know when you're not.
Yeah, the enforcement officer's days fluctuate. Okay.
Great.
And is there ever an opportunity we can go to 7 days a week?
sure, if the city wants to pony up.
Well, I'm wondering, with the parking districts doing what they're doing, right, might be something to look at next year.
Yeah.
Or to pick up a 6-day or something.
Right.
If that's what we want, in the summer.
Right.
But on your days off, then, do police officers, like if there's a violation?
Some more than others.
Fewer more than others.
It's usually complaint driven.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you see somebody violating, driving you crazy, that you really, you make a call, then they send a cop out, and so it is.
Yeah, enforcement's available 7 days a week. You can always make a phone call 7 days a week, and if the PEO or parking enforcement officer is not on, then they'll send an officer out to
take the community service.
Or the community service officer.
Oh, okay. And you call dispatch?
Yeah, one call.
Well,
any more parking?
You
guys came to this meeting.
Yeah, yeah. We're always one.
Always available. Yeah. You can invite us anytime, and we'll make the show.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, thanks very much.
No problem. Thank you. It was a pleasure.
See you again.
Take care, Mike.
Have fun.
Yeah.
Should we talk about the beach access sign, since that was brought up? And I wasn't at the last meeting, but I mean, I know we talked about that. The umbrella that's on, I mean, we have a wayfinding program that was established a couple years ago that uses the umbrella for beach access.
Has anyone looked to see if there is a universal symbol for beach?
Yeah, that was what Mike was looking into. We brought the diagrams in.
But
I didn't know we had a meeting today, so I didn't bring anything.
That is something that maybe we need to then, all of us, look to see what we can find that's universal, and if not, then go back to the wayfinding one.
Yeah, because I think an icon is really important.
It is.
Because a lot of people who come here don't speak English, and so the words beach access are going to mean nothing to them.
Yeah. Well, and the other main issue, too, is the wayfinding signs. Those are pretty much for foot traffic, not for traffic or for driving by.
Well, I understood they were supposed to
the
be
size.
Well,
yeah, you won't be able to read the wayfinding signs driving.
So
25 miles an hour going by.
Turn the ripple in water off. Certain top and bottom of the words.
I can't.
Yeah. That's just on my head.
Yeah, I think I'm right. I've seen that somewhere.
Waves.
Certainly all over Mexico. There's just the word, and then there's a rippling wave line on the top and bottom of the word. But we should find out.
Yeah. Not the wave like the tsunami wave, but the river.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the tsunami wave.
Tsunami this way.
We know tsunami wave.
Yeah, the umbrella is not
a
universal.
No.
It didn't deal. I don't know. That didn't resonate with me.
Yeah.
Maybe Southern California. I mean, I think of an umbrella. We're from Oregon. What do we think of?
That's for rain.
Rain.
If you are, don't live on the Oregon coast.
Right. Well, when I lived in Seattle, you never used a rain umbrella either. I mean, nobody who lives there used an umbrella.
But that's what you think of.
Yeah.
You think of rain.
Umbrella in Newport will get you killed. Because the wind. Right.
I mean, it's kind of a sign of, you know, I mean, that's what all the weather uses. If it's going to rain, they have a little umbrella with the raindrops hitting it. I mean,
yeah, that's true.
They don't show the sun rays.
Well, I like the ripple thing.
Yeah. Well, we should find out if it is, but I have a feeling it might be a universal image for the ocean.
And the Fed and the state may have not have caught up to those
MUTC
things.
I had another comment or question about crossing Coast Street where we are. Are speed bumps totally out of the question on Coast Street? Okay. How about
you've got them built in there with the bricks.
I don't think we need them.
Well, yeah, we need something.
Our place, it's
terrible.
Outrageous.
Is it?
People,
really?
They leave that stop sign on 3rd and they step on it.
Really?
They step on it.
I guess I haven't been out there.
And you can watch one every 10 minutes.
Some people on them, we were down there working, putting the posts up, and almost got hit down there.
Yeah.
But you don't always have to go with the actual physical.
Well, I was even thinking of stripes.
Yeah.
If we put stripes on there and just said 20 mile an hour zone congestion and just paint it on the street, is that possible?
Or even just the stripes might be enough to get people to notice.
Of course, I would like there to be a crosswalk.
Well, yeah, you'd get to have to have the engineering and all the traffic studies weigh in on that.
Right. You're going to run
more
into
than just Dave can get it done, but it's more of the.
That was part of the design of the bricks. We're supposed to say, okay, there's crosswalks going across.
Yeah, but we're not talking about down there. We're talking about up
on 3rd Street.
Up on Coast Street towards my place, all the way to Olive Street, people gun it.
They go as fast as they can.
Oh, this is people moving across that street that just.
Yeah.
It's, I'm really sorry to say it, but it's, that's all part of your driving. That standards residential area, commercial area is 25 miles an hour. School areas are 20.
I think that eventually we will.
Can you pay 25 mile an hour on the street crosswalks and put stripes?
I think, isn't that 20 miles an hour in a commercial zone? Because I think there's a 20 mile sign down at 6th and Coast.
That could be on the
west side.
If you put 20 miles an hour, and if you're starting to hit that, you say, it says 20 miles per hour, and I see stripes, maybe I best not speed.
Does that have to go to engineering?
And the only thing you're doing is you're making more of a nightmare.
I think crosswalks would slow people down.
They theoretically do. Crosswalk placement is a science. Mm-hmm. Too many crosswalk stripes become just railroad tracks, visual railroad tracks. So they try to place crosswalks at peak places you want people to cross at. There's a presumed crosswalk at every intersection, presumed. But you put the stripes on where you want to direct people to, kind of like the parking, the T-bars we're doing in parking, that says visually, that's where we want them to park. So if you put too many crosswalks at every single one of them, drivers don't get that, and pedestrians don't do anything any different. So it's
in front of my building, there are 20 people every 10 minutes. Yeah. There's just this constant flow of people. It's so dangerous.
So would they go up half a block
to the? Probably not.
Well, where the road tees is also presumed crosswalk, isn't it? Because Southwest or Second Court.
Right.
But the thing is that we don't have the stripes painted in the street because we have the bricks. Mm-hmm. So if there was one white crosswalk on Coast Street, it would stand out. And it wouldn't.
Second Court and went to Second. One big crosswalk.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to get killed.
Well, that's what I, when I, after the one meeting, went back and watched, and I just went, somebody's going to get killed.
Keep in mind that in all of these instances, you've got education, engineering, and enforcement, and they all have to work hand in hand.
Sure.
So is this an engineering problem? Don't know, Dave. Is it a environmental, where we have to change the environment a little bit through a stripe or through a planter box or a bump out, or I don't know, or is it an enforcement issue, or is it all three of them somewhat?
I think if there were white stripes there, that people would use it and they wouldn't be scattered all over.
But would that change the vehicle?
I think it would.
That's why I'd like to see 20 miles an hour painted right in front of that stripe.
Yeah, but I think if people tended to walk within the stripes, there are so many people moving across that street all willy-nilly all over the place.
This is where you can't. We can't educate people with painting everything else. I mean, that's just like us going down there with a leash and guiding them across.
I know.
We can't do that. We cannot. You have to understand that we work with a city budget. Mm-hmm. Everything that I put down there, that means I have to maintain.
Right.
I have to continually putting painting down and stuff. And then pretty soon you just get this big mess out there in the first place. The people, we put crosswalks in, like Dave was saying there, is to direct people down. The crosswalk is to direct the people, not the cars. That's to direct the people down there. This is your safe area to cross in. Mm-hmm. Even though they have a legal right to step off the curb and cross anywhere they want to, we can't stop that. I understand the establishment. Everybody likes to get the people to go right straight across the street to their front door. If I had a business, you darn right. But we cannot accommodate that for everywhere.
So you're saying they're jaywalking.
Where the problem is.
I'm saying hundreds of people are jaywalking every day.
Well, I'm one of them.
Me too.
With no street.
Yeah, you can go across.
And it's dangerous both ways. And I watch, and I don't cross until there's nothing coming.
A lot of people don't.
But they don't wait. Is there a possibility of 20-mile-an-hour signs being posted where we have 3-hour parking signs as they come up the hill?
They don't do anything. That one down by Charles Place, they don't mean anything.
Well, I'm only worried coming up the hill.
Yeah. See, Dave's occupation knows, and this is a firm belief. If you put a 20-mile-an-hour sign up, you're actually expecting the people to do 25 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to challenge it.
Yeah.
You know, the same thing as 30 miles.
They do 45.
Maybe one of the solutions.
They're going to drive 35.
Maybe one of the solutions would be to get, besides having Dave and Jim at the table with the environmental and the engineering side of it, to get the police department here to hear some of the concerns and observations so that they can target some enforcement and target some educational opportunities. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, if you start getting cops in that area, deal with cops in that area.
Yeah.
We're inviting them.
Yeah.
So we can't say, well, we don't have cops here. It's going to make our look
makes
bad.
Makes us look bad.
I mean, maybe bring everybody together and somebody may have an idea.
It is a major issue.
It's a safety
that major issue.
If it wasn't a safety issue, I wouldn't worry about it, but I think it's a safety issue.
Well, especially coming up off that hill. You come up off that hill, you come into a blind spot, and,
And they speed coming both ways.
I've seen it. So I agree. Yeah, coming down the hill.
What I am saying in that area is, when you said speed bumps or whatever, on my aspect is no.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's not feasible, but I cannot make that decision.
Yeah.
Is what I'm trying to say.
But I think Linda's question was, is it something in this? It is something that could happen. Is it something that's even done here? I mean, you see it so effectively used every place else.
In parks and stuff like this, right? But that's
another
a main thoroughfare also.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's a slow thoroughfare.
So I can almost guarantee you what they're going to recommend if that's the case and they do anything. You're going to end up with another bulb out on 2nd Street. You're going to end up with one on 2nd Court to narrow it down to try to get the people to go slower.
I don't think we will do that. That is way gone with the Wii group.
I'm just saying.
No, it won't. We don't ever want the Wii group screwed up, and we are not putting more bulb outs anywhere. I don't think.
I'm sorry, I'm just coming from that other end of it.
Say something on that. A lot of times it's not the bulb out or the environmental, what they did, it's how they did it. They made those too extreme.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
I would love my street, Harney Street, where I live, lots of kids, I would love to have 3 bulb outs on that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it visually slows it down so it isn't an airport runway.
It works.
And that's what.
But I would hate them if they did it like they did in High Beach.
Right.
It was ridiculous for that location. So it's got to fit what you're trying to accomplish. So. It isn't necessarily that would... See, I think that'd be a great idea up there. I really do.
It's just
not what they did down on the floor.
And now you can direct the people out to those bulb outs and get them across. The problem with the bulb outs that are down there right now that nobody really makes a mistake or wants to fess up to it is those were a foot to a foot and a half too long.
I know, that's what I'm talking about.
It was a mistake that was never taken care of.
And at some point we're going to say,
and that's the only reason
that would
I say
be the time to do.
Right, I wasn't totally dismissing them, but not. That's what I mean, they're way too extreme, and we can't get them changed now, and it's awful.
Is it temporary?
And it's like
the storm drain thing.
I don't know. Probably.
It's like speed bumps. We talk about speed bumps.
Thanks to
the
storm issue,
kids love those.
But there's also speed humps.
They're
designed for a certain speed.
Yeah.
It doesn't mess up emergency vehicles, doesn't mess up passenger cars because of the distance of the bump and the height of the bump.
And you also, you don't put a speed bump on a downhill grade because now you're airborne.
I like speed bumps.
Yeah.
Not speed bumps. They just have to be put in the right place.
Huh. Right. Well, another thing that's used effectively some places is a little island in the center of the road that is like a pedestrian safety zone.
But we don't
and
have
those, well,
that's true. Unless we eliminate parking.
Yeah, well, you have to
have a 60-foot there to be able to do that, 60-foot wide to do that. just going to be able to get your lanes on both sides.
Right, thinking that, replaying, watching that, and you're right. It's so how could we, as businesses, or how could we direct people to cross in one place so at least they're in a...
Well, I've gone home and taken a whole section of bushes out and I'm putting bricks in so that at least visually people can feel like, okay, from that corner over there to my corner, they can walk. There is a parking space that laps into that by 2 feet. So it's far from perfect, but it seems like at least moving that direction would, because they literally, I mean, I was telling Linda, they'll start at the Mundo corner and talk, and there'll be people milling across, and they go to the beach shop, they go diagonally all the way across the street.
We've said this is a walking area.
It is. We've invited it to be, and they do. But coming to Panini, it's just this massive herd moving back and forth, and it's dangerous.
The only way that you would prevent that, probably 90% of it, would be you would have to go with a completely different traffic route.
Reroute them around up on the cliff.
I would suggest that you have a luxury problem.
Problem.
Yeah, there's so many people in front of your building, and there's so many people in your business district, and there's so many people that like it there, that it's a luxury problem to have, and it can be solved, but keep in mind that you've got a good thing going on down there, and you're just trying to make your good thing better.
What makes it worse is it's right in the belly.
Yeah. Right.
There are people in other parts of town that are saying that kind of traffic.
Very difficult.
At the intersection, just have a bridge.
Yeah. Well, let's have get a pedestrian to Jim so he's not with us all day.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
But your other stuff is equally important in my mind.
It's all tied together.
Well, the only reason I'm here is because Derek sent me a little notification and said that there was a Performing Arts Center maintenance discussion as one of your agenda topics. And when we are talking about that kind of stuff, and I've talked with several of you privately, and I think all of us as a group we talked, is that the city, through the Parks and Rec and Dave's crew or his equipment, we're willing to do whatever is necessary. The biggest nightmare for us as staff is trying to get consensus, because everybody has an idea, but then we have these competing factions, and it's not staff competing against each other. We're in alignment. It's like, Dave, I need a big chipper. Jim, I need some help, you know, weeding this area. The staff get along really well, and we just want to do what is right and good. The problem is, and Nye Beach is a classic example, and some of us have talked about this, I know Dave and I have privately, is that if we go in and do one thing, for example, this group says, well, we want you to do this, this, and this, and we say, okay, and we go in and we remove or replace or do something like this, then, and you guys are like, oh, that's great, that's exactly what we wanted, then I get this backlash from, let's just say, from the Bayfront merchants. No. From even within the Nye Beach, the Performing Arts Center committee will come and say, why would you do that? Oh, we love these trees. We love this. Or the business merchants will come unglued or whatever. So my message is that we will do whatever is necessary and right. We just want to make sure that everybody is in agreement. One of the ways, and Dave and I have talked about this, is to come up with a plan, put it in writing, sketch pictures. It doesn't have to be expensive, but we just need to kind of circulate the plan and give everybody an opportunity to accept or reject it. And then, as a district, this Nye Beach, somehow we got to wrap our hands around all the interests and all the things that we want to do, and say, look, on this date, we're moving forward with this, or we're not. And I would suggest that 51% is enough to move forward, but politically, do you want to take on your neighbors down there and create that kind of chaos? I don't know the answer to that. I'm just saying that 51% of agreement is all that staff would need to move forward, but that means 49 people are going to come out there with sticks and just beat us, mercifully.
Unless, as part of that, Jim,
yeah,
that a lot of times people will get upset from a competing quote-unquote fashion.
Yeah.
Although I don't think we're competing. We just have competing ideas.
Right.
Because they don't understand what we're trying to accomplish. But if we put out there what we're trying to accomplish, I mean, like the shrubbery in the Performing Arts Center.
Yes.
Was not only visual, it was to get parking, which is also beneficial to them, but letting people know this isn't, we're just not trying to do something.
Yeah, yeah.
But why? I think the why gets left off. Yeah. So the other.
What about a neighborhood meeting?
Well, I think that I actually, I mean, Veronica and I went and weeded for 3 hours at the mountain of weeds we got, I mean, it's completely uncared for. That's what the vibe is there. Mm-hmm. And that's not even about the trees, that's just the landscaping was horrifying, and still is.
Sure.
But it seems to me that the Performing Arts Center board should absolutely be right in the middle of this. Mm-hmm. That it should be us going and talking with them and sitting down and saying, and if your staff can't keep that place looking better than it is, then they should gather up a volunteer group. We've got enough to do to keep the rest of the beach tidy.
Yeah, which they have.
Do they?
Yeah. Okay. And they have. They understand that, and we have those agreements. The unfortunate reality, and not always, but often, with volunteerism, is that it ebbs and flows.
Sure.
It's not consistent, and it really never will be unless you get a core group of super dedicated people. But even in that environment, it ebbs and flows. And the city does not have enough resource right now to dedicate someone to the Performing Arts Center to really make that happen. It's, I don't want to say it's reactionary, because it's not, but it's not at the level that certainly I would, or you know, just reduced or enlarge it to the ridiculous that Disneyland would accept. So all I can say is we're kind of doing the best we can with what we have,
right?
And we recognize it's not good enough, and that their volunteer efforts are really the only way out.
So this is one of the issues
where we're saying, you know, it's on both. We're speaking from the public works side of this thing.
Yeah,
is we have so many other duties to do, and of course we're getting browbeat like crazy. But they don't understand that we're not 100 strong.
Right.
Jim's got three people.
Two
people.
And some part time. We got Larry.
I have three people.
Who works like one?
And this is, you know, this is the whole city of Newport that we have to take care of.
Right.
So this is why we come out, and like what Jim's probably trying to say there a little bit also is there, we look for other alternatives to maybe get the same beautiful effect that you guys want or whatever, but with the lowest of maintenance that we possibly can. Mm-hmm. Because that's where you probably noticed, I kept coming back to. Sure, I'll go put you a stripe down. I really don't care. But now I have to do it next year. Or when that stripe wears out, I have to come back. Mm-hmm. Where am I going to find this time to do this?
Expectations.
Because I have all this other stuff to do.
With the large unknown that it may or may not solve the problem.
Right. That's correct. That's correct, too.
That's why we need a master plan for all the parks. But, I mean, I think it would be great to start with the Performing Arts Center because it's a very contained space. And it's right now is a good time. Because of the public artwork project and working with that group, and if we need to focus, it'd be helpful to have some horticultural expert at least help. I mean, I know somebody who used to work at the aquarium who's really good, and establish really low maintenance plans and have a master plan, so when you get volunteers and if you get them sporadically, you'd have this plan and say, this is what this area is supposed to look like. All beach grass and beach grass, like Rennie Ferris knows a lot about what hides litter. I mean, beach grass is really good at hiding litter. Anyway, we need a master plan.
We do. We need a master plan.
And I don't think the landscaping around the periphery is that terrible. It's just so overgrown with weeds.
And then there are those windows that we would like to see so that it makes the parking area safer, but the people across the street don't want it because of the wind.
Right. So right, just competing interests, that's all it is.
Yeah. So is there a way that we could all get together with the people at the PAC and then all the neighbors around there to sit down and say, this is what we would like to
do.
This
is why we need.
I keep looking for Wayne. He's the only person. I'm thinking I'll just run into him. That's sort of how I do things. I'll just run into him. We'll talk.
But Catherine, too, because she's head of the Catherine, public art committee. So.
Catherine would be a good person to pull that discussion, that meeting together. Does the association have a board of directors with a president or someone that mm-hmm. would be?
I think Wayne.
Wayne?
Okay. Are you talking about the
PAC? The PAC, board.
Yeah. Anyway. That would be a good person to call
right.
a meeting.
That's good,
and certainly Catherine could support that effort if she so chooses and schedule and host and bring that discussion to happen. It will take each and everyone here a significant amount of effort and persuasion to get people to show up to these kinds of meetings. Just saying.
We know that.
Okay.
I want
because
to show up to pull weeds.
Weeds, yeah. I mean, that would be, that's a good.
That's a start. I could imagine a lot of people in the community who feel that reflects their culture and who they are would love to come spend a couple of hours pulling weeds at their performing arts.
Sure.
That would be a good kickoff to
that would be great.
Clearing the slate so you can see what's there. And
right, in those situations, we can bring boxes down like we do for gym and stuff like this and drop them off so that people don't have to pack this stuff off.
Well, that,
you know,
we
to
left
get rid of this stuff and
mountain
everything.
Way I mean, bigger than this table, and Larry, bless his heart, just sort of appeared and it was all, when I checked the next day, it was all gone.
All gone.
Thank you.
Yes,
you're welcome. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to get a hold of you.
Yeah,
things like that, where if you do that on a weekend, you know, the same thing. I can tell the sweeper, go by there, clean this mess up for them.
Right.
First thing, we can help in those in those areas.
Which is great. Yeah. And actually, that's huge. It's
right.
like you can get people
yeah, that's,
pulling
those
weeds,
are the resources
then,
that we can get.
Yeah.
Right. We can't do the weeds and the cleanup both, let's put it that way. We just don't have the time to
do it. Well, we can pull the weeds.
Right.
Maybe a big weed pulling project, is that what you're saying would be a good prelude
I
to like developing some camaraderie with
exactly.
the neighborhood and then
exactly.
clearing the slate so you can see what's there and go, okay, now this is how
so
we're
everybody
move
can
on.
Be proud of it together and figure
right.
out what
that,
the next
thing is. Before the jazz festival if it could get cleaned up.
You know, some of those things that really work well in other places too, is like what you're talking about that.
Yeah.
It's just set you a little tent up someplace and say, you know, 4 o'clock volunteer barbecue type thing.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, actually, you know, some hot dogs or something like that. And
food
make it a party.
Make it a
darn beach cleanup party deal.
One of the things that comes up is a friends group, Friends of Night Beach, something like that, so that you move it beyond just the business district. Into the residential. You've got the business district, the parking district, you've got the residential folks, you've got the people right outside. A lot of people have a lot of pride in that area, and if we could get some kind of, it's a little bit of a movement that, but as part of that, you have to have what Wendy said is a master plan, so that if I got 20 minutes and I don't want to be there at the same time everybody else is, at least I know what I can go clean up.
Sure.
It's on
right.
a list that says, here's our hit list that says I can,
yeah.
it's
right.
okay to do this.
And Catherine could have it right there at the PAC, which is open fairly
soon. Sure. And she can track it, and then you can see we volunteered this much time to our district, our community. But just to reiterate, if you could all have a vision, and you said together, if we could all work together
to be proud together,
that's pretty much the only way it's going to work. Because if you don't create the plan and have a common vision and involve all the players in creating the vision and creating the buy-in as a whole, then what you have is different factions that spin off and they start sniping at each other. And then the only binding thing that happens in an area or community or whatever, but in Nye Beach, the only thing that's going to happen is that everybody's going to focus on burning negative things that will come up, whether it's a flooding issue or whether it's a parking problem or it's a sewage spill, whatever it is, they're going to all galvanize around the one negative thing and raise hell until that one thing is fixed, and then they're going to all retreat back, and then you're right back to the same thing waiting for the next disaster to strike.
That's why a friends group is
it's a great idea
thing, because it's an ongoing living organism that can kind of deal with it.
Sure.
It isn't just a one-time shot.
Right, represented by all the different factions, all the interests in it.
Yeah, and it can be a social. I mean
it should be social.
The city's a partner in it too.
Right.
So we can't forget to invite these guys to do that.
Right.
Especially if there's food.
Well, that's
right.
The problem is you're going to constantly run into an area that you're in also, because without a plan, it's just like, you can sit there and say that, well, I think dandelions are the prettiest thing in the world.
Yeah.
I want dandelions.
Well, let me ask you, Jim, is there a plan?
But I mean, this is what we'll run into is one type of plant, say, you guys might not like, this particular person, and it's
their
business. They really like it.
But it's been professionally landscaped, and then the front little corners, somebody has recently redone in a totally different style. But it's pretty clear what the things going on there are.
The weeds and the rest of it.
But what I mean is if you had a plan, like you said, you guys,
is there a plan?
And your group wants to get together and say, okay, we just assume we have this
particular. Not that I'm aware of. If it is, it's so outdated.
And basically, the issue is the Escalonia.
It's the staff person's dream. We'll send Donna down there, and she'll have a plan in her mind, or Larry.
It's not a great plan.
He has a plan.
It's a landscape. You can't
formalize it. It's not formalized.
You know, I actually don't agree. I think Escalonia can be managed to be whatever you want it to be. It can be a small shrub if it's pruned annually.
Can you prune it so that you can see through it, like a lot of other...
Well, sure. It can be, you can reach in and make it all through. It can, but it also could have windows, real specific windows.
Well, yeah, for sure that. But I was thinking, because my mom was always great about having landscaping that you could see through.
Yeah.
So that it created that wind block, but you can see through it. It doesn't put this table upright so that you can't see through it, creating that issue in the parking area where people don't feel safe in the evening.
Do you know
so if we can use the existing landscaping, that is, just go in and prune it out.
Yeah. I think that's
the deals with that type of landscaping issues,
and the trees
that knows
especially.
The heights and widths.
We can have those trimmed out on the desk.
Oh, yeah. You can
well,
use
Jerry Daly.
You can sculpt the trees.
Pretty good at that.
Sculpt.
I mean, they're beautiful.
They're
you need a landscape architect type.
And that's what I was wondering.
Yeah, a little higher level.
Do you know anybody? Do we have anybody? Is anybody in the community?
White did all the trees up at Salishan. And he trimmed them all out. He calls it
Salishan. Rennie Ferris, actually.
Because cutting out all the
if you could deal with
the bulk that isn't
very
necessary in the tree.
It's very difficult to do that and get something that also works.
You get
60% wind break, but yet gives you visibility. That's going to be very difficult.
Maybe Greg Carr.
Yeah, so you can see the sunshine.
He actually has that mentality and skill.
And they maintained very well. He hasn't had to go up and redo it.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I mean,
really, he really does.
Those are the types of people you want.
Yeah.
Okay,
what's that?
Kind of
all right.
We have a little bit of a side conversation.
Well,
so are we.
Dave asked, and it was a pretty good question, actually, is are there local people that we could consult with that would help achieve all ends of visibility and windbreak and do that kind of stuff? And I threw out two names of people that actually have those skills and that stuff, and one is Rennie Ferris, and the other is Greg Card. Right. And both of those guys have that kind of background and knowledge and understanding.
They've got a stake in the area.
And they got a stake in the area.
Greg Card.
Greg.
From city. But he's so busy. But anyway.
And he's full of opinions, as is Rennie. And I'm not suggesting that either of their opinions are wrong. I'm just telling you that they will be pretty clear on what their idea is.
And it's an idea. It may not be those two people you're looking at.
Yeah, but
are there other people in our community, in our little focus community, that have those skills to say, well, you can do this with Escalonia, and you can do this with Boxwood, and if you're trying to accomplish this, you want to do it this way, and then you want to use a combination. Yeah. I mean, are there somebody that knows those things?
Well, I think there's probably lots of people who would have an opinion that, well, who's the landscaper for Coast Park?
Well,
I mean, that might be a natural person to draw
over. David Doherty is his name, and his company is DLA in Eugene, and he's great, and he did NOAA, and he did the community college, and he did our park, and I respect him very well, but you want a coastie. You want someone who is right here dealing with this wind, dealing with our stuff. Master gardeners have got to have at least a handful of people hiding in there.
Yeah. They have to have somebody who's shrubs and not just passes.
Yes. But if you bring somebody over, they will fail miserably.
I think that's why Dave, you can get older places like Astoria and those places too.
Yeah, you can reach up and down
the
those
works and stuff. The whys or what our goals are.
We might have some skill right here.
Visibility and lighting, and then we get people together.
This is by the arch. Putting the arch in probably would have.
No, I know where we're at now.
So it's just when we looked at it and measured it, which we did late last night, it was like, oh my God, there's so many
things. There's so many signs and
stuff.
But this is basically just for you all to take it home and play. Or
this is great.
Think about it. You were saying that we have some
pack when we get to that,
some leftover bricks.
Some stuff we can do.
Yeah.
But was maybe coming up with some kind of plan.
See what a plan does? Look at this. We all shut up, and we're all paying attention, and we're all saying, wow, look at this, and our minds are going great. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
This is brilliant.
I think one thing I would like to see is a space, a paved space where we can put up like a 10 by 10 foot tent to have a musician or a special event for the holidays or an 8 by 10 foot or 8 by 8
foot. We're going to slip out. You guys keep dreaming. Keep talking. Yeah. Come up with a refined plan, and then utilize us. Mm-hmm. That's when our skills and our abilities can best be utilized. But we want you to dream the dream, because it's got to come from you. Otherwise, if the employees that are, you know, going to be tasked with helping or doing this come in, then you quit buying in. So this is
we're not going to quit buying.
And yes, please remember, we're not trying to work against you. We're trying to work with you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very clear.
So that's the way.
And I'm going to turn this off now.
Okay.